And I know that from what I know of him, his heart is in imparting the word to us that the Lord has given him. I would venture to say that he has put in prayer on what it is that he is to bring to us. And from what I've heard him preaching in the past, I feel like the Lord does bless him, and in so blessing us. So with that said, Sean Sprague.
Good evening. I'd like to welcome all of you here in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and thank you for coming. In the time after Solomon built the temple, dedicated it, and things went on, and time passed, and he grew old. Solomon started getting a lot of wives and concubines, doing the things that God told him not to do. He specifically told the house of Israel not to go after women of these different countries and bring them in as their wives, and he did that. And the Lord told them not to do that. He said, because if you do, they're going to bring in their practice of worshiping other gods, and they're going to corrupt you and corrupt his children. But Solomon did it anyway, and sure enough, he was corrupted. And he started setting up altars, and, allowing his wives to set up altars and groves and dedicating statues and things to these other gods. Because he did that, the Lord told him that he was going to have the kingdom taken away from not him, but from his children. Not all of the kingdom, but most of it. Because he was going to keep a promise that he made to David. So time went on, and they had kings and different kings and different kings in the land of Israel. And Judah became its own little kingdom. And each one of these kings pretty much didn't do what they were supposed to. And there was all kinds of things that were set up. And all kinds of gods that were starting to be worshipped in the land. They had groves where they worshiped these gods. They had altars in the courtyard of the temple that were set up to worship different gods. Right next door to the temple, in one house right next to the temple, they had a house full of sodomites. And the women that stayed there with the sodomites would weave these tapestries or blankets or whatever to put in these groves to worship these foreign gods. All this stuff was going on. You couldn't go anywhere in Jerusalem without seeing this stuff. It was everywhere. And it was in the temple. So what's your temple like? You know, this body that you live in, that's your temple. It's the temple of the Lord. What's it like? Is it polluted? Do you keep the commandments of God daily? Or have you allowed the distractions of the world to enter in and to pollute your worship of God? Let's turn to 2 Kings. There was a young man back in those days, and when he was 8 years old, they made him king, or actually God made him king. The 22nd chapter of 2 Kings, I'm going to start at the first verse. His name is Josiah. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. And he, Josiah, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. He was a good king. They finally got a good king. 31 years did he reign. But still, all of these things had been set up in the land of Jerusalem, in the kingdom of Judah. It was everywhere, from all the previous kings, his fathers and his grandfathers. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, "Go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people, and let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house." The temple of the Lord was in disrepair. They hadn't taken care of it. "Unto carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully." So here they are. They're getting ready to go work on the temple. Hasn't been taken care of. It's in disrepair. "And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it." Hey, look what I found. Laying in a corner, covered with dust. It's the book of the law. How dusty is the law that is in the temple that you belong to, that's yours, your body? How dusty is that book? Do you know the commandments? Do you keep the commandments? "And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe shewed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king." Well, they found it, they dusted it off, and they read it to the king. And what happened? "And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes." Do you do that when you come here Sunday morning, or Sunday evening, or Wednesday night? And you remember the laws of God, and you remember what you've done during the rest of the week, how you've broken the commandments at times? Do you rent the covering of the temple? Are you sorry for what you've done? Do you repent? "And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Milchiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asahiah a servant of the king, saying, Go ye inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all that which is written concerning us." The people of this land have not hearkened to the words of that book. The people of the United States have not kept the laws of God. And this land has become polluted. And they don't worship God the way that they're supposed to anymore. And the wrath of God will be poured out upon this land because of this. Just like it's going to happen right here to these people in Jerusalem so many thousands of years ago. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. And if you don't keep His commandments, and the people that you live with don't keep their commandments, and if you don't remind them daily to keep the commandments of God, they will turn away from Him, and they will start worshiping other gods. And that's what's happened here in the United States. And the wrath of God will be poured out upon us, just like it's going to be poured upon out upon the rest of the world, because the rest of the world is basically in the same shape that we are. So there they went. They went to this prophetess. Her name was Huldah. Down in the 15th verse, they're there and she tells them what's going to happen. And she said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say to him." Now remember, Josiah rent his clothes in anguish and sorrow and in repentance. "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace. And thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place." And they brought the king word again. So because of the state of the heart of Josiah, he was going to have peace all of his days. But the wrath of God was going to be poured out upon those people after he dies. They only had a little bit of time left. 31 years is what he was going to have in his entire reign. And it had already been 18 years, so he's 18. He was made king at the age of 8. 10 years have passed by. They've got 21 more years. They don't know that. But 21 more years of peace, and then it's all over. A desolation. How much time do we have left? Ourselves. I don't know. I don't know how much time I personally have left, and I don't know how much time all the rest of you have left. But I know that I'm 47 years old, going on 48, and it seems like it's going faster and faster every day. I feel like I have just a small amount of time left. And it's scary. I don't know how much time this country that we live in has left before God pours out his wrath on us, but I know that it's coming. In the 23rd chapter of 2 Kings, "And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord." So once again, the house of the Lord was full. And all these people came, and they all heard together the same thing that Josiah had read. "And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant." And there where it says all the people stood to the covenant, it means they took their stand for the covenant. They agreed to stand up for that covenant and keep that covenant with Josiah. All the people there. So they did. And then they went out and they got rid of all the garbage and the evil that had been built up in the land of Jerusalem. They got rid of all of it. They broke down all the altars. They even went and took all the dead priests that had committed this evil and all the dead worshipers of all these other gods, and they took them out of their graves and they ground their bones up and cast them out. They ground all of these altars to dust and threw them out of the city, and they cut down all the groves. And they cleansed that place. And they had peace for the next 21 years. Because they had, as a people, made this covenant that they were going to keep the commandments of God. And they worked together at it. And they had peace. How many of us here have entered into that same covenant? All of us except a few who are young. And we're here to remember that covenant. That's why we come here. We come here to lift each other up, not to cast each other down and say, shame on you, you evildoer, but to lift each other up and remind each other, you can renew this covenant. Put away the evil that you have done. Cast it out from among you. And remember the Lord. And keep His covenants. Keep His commandments. Don't break this. That's why we're here. In the book of Mosiah, on page 224 in the Book of Mormon, it's the third chapter of the book of Mosiah. Here's another king and another group of people, and they're basically going to do the same thing that Josiah and his people did. They're all gathered together, and the king has told them all the same things that Josiah has told them. And this is what they said in the second verse of chapter 3 of the book of Mosiah. And they all cried with one voice, saying, "Yea, we believe all the words which thou hast spoken unto us. And also we know of their surety and truth because of the Spirit of the Lord Omnipotent, which hath wrought a mighty change in us, or in our hearts, that we have no more disposition to do evil, but to do good continually. And we ourselves also, through the infinite goodness of God and the manifestations of His Spirit, have great views of that which is to come, and were it expedient, we could prophesy of all things. And we are willing to enter into a covenant with our God to do His will and to be obedient to His commandments in all things that He shall command us all the remainder of our days, that we may not bring upon ourselves a never-ending torment, as has been spoken by the angel, that we may not drink out of the cup of the wrath of God." Same promise, same covenant. It's not written in the Bible what they actually said, but it's the same covenant, same promise. Seventh verse. And now these are the words which King Benjamin desired of them. And therefore he said unto them, "Ye have spoken the words that I desired, and the covenant which ye have made is a righteous covenant. And now because of the covenant which ye have made, ye shall be called the children of Christ, His sons and His daughters. For behold, this day He hath spiritually begotten you. For ye say that your hearts are changed through faith on His name. Therefore ye are born of Him, and have become His sons and His daughters. And under this head ye are made free, and there is no other head whereby ye can be made free." They have become the children of Christ, just like we have become the children of Christ when we entered into that covenant. We repented of our sins and went down into the waters of baptism and came up and had the laying on of hands and received the Holy Ghost. Same covenant. And have we kept sin out of our lives? Have we kept that promise that we made? For behold, this day he hath spiritually begotten you. For ye say that your hearts are changed through faith on his name. Therefore ye are born of him and have become his sons and his daughters. And under this head ye are made free. And there is no other head whereby ye can be made free. There is no other name given whereby salvation cometh. Therefore I would that ye should take upon you the name of Christ, all you that have entered into the covenant with God, that ye should be obedient unto the end of your lives. We have taken upon us the name of Christ. We call ourselves sons and daughters of Christ, that we're Christians, that we are his followers. The church that we come into on Sunday is called his church, the Church of Christ. And it shall come to pass that whosoever doeth this shall be found at the right hand of God, for he shall know the name by which he is called. For he shall be called by the name of Christ. And as Mark told us this morning in Philippians, Jesus Christ was found on the right hand of God by that name, because of that name. Because of that name, he was exalted above the angels and was allowed to sit on the right hand of God. And if we keep those same commandments and keep that name written in our hearts, we will be found there too at the end. However, 13th verse, and now it shall come to pass that whosoever shall not take upon them the name of Christ must be called by some other name. Therefore he findeth himself on the left hand of God. And on the left hand of God, you are cast out into outer darkness. For you have found the wrath of God, and it shall be poured out upon you. And I would that ye should remember also that this is the name that I said I should give unto you, that never should be blotted out, except it be through transgression. Therefore, take heed that ye do not transgress, that the name be not blotted out of your hearts. I say unto you, I would that ye should remember to retain the name written always in your hearts, that ye are not found on the left hand of God, but that ye hear and know the voice by which he shall be called, and also the name by which he shall call you. For how knoweth a man the master which he hath not served, and which is a stranger unto him, and is far from the thoughts and intents of his heart? Those people that lived in Jerusalem went and served other masters. Those wicked priests. They did terrible things. And they didn't know anything about the law of God. And they didn't know his commandments. They just fell away. Because they didn't remind each other. Because they desired to do evil in their hearts. And their rulers desired to do evil in their hearts. So they fell away. And the same thing has happened to this country, to this world that we live in now. Most of us have fallen away and gone and served other gods. Whether it be idols that they actually worship in reverence, or things that they do on Sunday instead of going and worshiping God the way they're supposed to. I heard one man who's a famous quarterback in the NFL when he lost a very important game. And they asked him, well, what are you going to do? You know what his answer was to the reporter? Our brother Stephen told us this. He said, well, I'm going to do what we always do when we lose. Going to go and pray to the gods of football. These things that we don't think that we worship, we actually do, because they take us away from the worship of God. It's true. All these things that are out there that take you away from God in worshiping him the way that he has commanded, then you worship them. And again, doth a man take an ass which belongeth to his neighbor and keep him? I say unto you, nay, he will not even suffer that he shall feed among his flocks, but will drive him away and cast him out. I say unto you that even so it shall be among you, if ye know not the name by which ye are called. Therefore I would that ye should be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in good works, that Christ the Lord God omnipotent may seal you his, that you may be brought to heaven, that ye may have everlasting salvation and eternal life, through the wisdom and power and justice and mercy of him who created all things in heaven and in earth, who is God above all. Amen. Turn to page 628, and this is where we're going to close. And this is the words of the Lord our Savior, Jesus Christ. And in these words, we have hope. We have a chance. Starting at the 41st verse of page 628, it's chapter 4 of the third book of Nephi. O all ye that are spared, because ye were more righteous than they, will ye not now return unto me, and repent of your sins, and be converted, that I may heal you? Yea, verily I say unto you, if ye will come unto me, ye shall have eternal life. Behold, mine arm of mercy is extended towards you, and whosoever will come, him will I receive. And blessed are they which cometh unto me. We do have a chance. We do have hope. And we don't have to suffer the wrath of God. It is coming. But we don't have to suffer it. He will watch over us. And he will protect us. These are the promises that he has made unto us. The same promises that he made unto Josiah and unto the people of the king Mosiah. He made those promises then. He's making those promises now. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what shape is your temple in? Is it clean? Is it spotless? Are you ready to invite the Lord into your temple that he will inspect it and be happy with you? If not, repent. Repent now. And go to your neighbors. And help them to repent through your actions, your words, your prayers, your thoughts. Help them because they have been lied to by the same evil priests that lied to those people in Jerusalem thousands of years ago. And they have been drawn away from worshiping the Lord as he commanded us. So help them. Thank you.